Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. This is Peter High, and I'm delighted to say that today, Josie Bass, a Wiley Press brand, published my latest book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. For today's broadcast, I wanted to provide an excerpt from the book, including one of my favorite stories among the many that are told about strategic CIOs. I also wanted to offer you, our listeners, a special offer. If you purchase 50 or more books for your team, for instance as an internal book club initiative, I will conduct a free teleconference or video conference providing greater details about the book and the stories that are included in it, as well as additional details about the methodology that's introduced. Simply contact me at feedback@metisstrategy.com for more details. Now on to the broadcast. In November of 2008, Jerry Pinnell became CIO for the ultimate world sporting and cultural event, the Olympic Games, whose cauldron would be lit by the Olympic torch in London on July 27, 2012, and burn for a fortnight. The Beijing Olympics had recently concluded, and he stared down the road at nearly 4 years of planning and execution as part of the event's top organizing committee. The scale of what he had to pull off, coupled with the high bar set by the example of Beijing, were motivation enough for Pinnell to assemble a team and to begin to set a plan. But his early steps were complicated by the fact that the strategic plans for the other functions the committee oversaw were in their nascent stages at best. To Pinnell, that meant setting a direction for the technological approach to the games that would still be malleable enough to change as he engaged further with his fellow committee leaders. He couldn't wait for them to get started. Pinnell's decision to forge ahead in planning without complete guidance from his peers stands in contrast to how a lot of CIOs act in the absence of concrete plans from the corporation of which they are a part. Too many of them match inaction with inaction, rather than proceeding with IT's own vision of where the company will be several years out and information technology's role in realizing that vision. Given the long-term nature of so many IT investments, often the multi-year depreciation or amortization schedules, it behooves IT to take the initiative in pushing the rest of the organization to develop clear, well-articulated plans and, in the absence of those, to set the example for the rest of the corporation by doing so itself. In Pinnell's case, the 4-year time horizon forced him to think more than the average CIO, not just about strategic flexibility, but also about the shifts in the tectonic plates in a 4-year period. In any given quarter, business-changing innovations may not be readily apparent. An IT leader must possess skills and perhaps even staff related to research and development so that he or she remains abreast of those innovations in order to evaluate the potential value that using them would bring the company. This means, for example, not only noticing a new product launch from a well-known company, but also not letting creative new products or services launched by small, less well-known companies pass under the radar. Reflecting back on the time period between the 2008 and 2012 Summer Olympics, it's interesting to think of the number of now pervasive technologies that either were in their infancy or did not exist in that interval. In 2008, the iPhone, which brought apps to the forefront for consumers and later for companies, was only a year old, and Apple had sold less than 10 million phones worldwide. By contrast, in each of the first two quarters of 2012, more than 30 million iPhones were sold worldwide. Twitter gained prominence at the South by Southwest conference in 2007, but it was not the force to be reckoned with that it would be in 2012. Facebook surpassed MySpace in traffic only in April of 2008. Although the term cloud computing had already been coined, the concept was still in the early stages of development and practice. The first iPad would not be introduced until April of 2010. It's worth mentioning that most aspects of social media were not officially permitted in the 2008 games or in China in general. And as of this writing, one still cannot use Facebook or Twitter in that country. Therefore, Pinnell could not translate the technology blueprint from Beijing to London any more than he could translate its Mandarin to English. Many IT executives assume that previous developed IT plans are more sustainable than they really are. The problem is the quick emergence of soon-to-be indispensable technologies. Depending on plans whose assumptions are no longer valid, largely operating on assumptions made in the past is bad business, clearly. IT executives need to be serious about their research and development role, asking themselves questions such as, what technologies have just emerged that neither you nor your competitors have thought much about that will become critical technologies tomorrow or next year? Do you have someone on your team investigating them? Is there a part of your IT strategy that makes space for such investigation? Do you have ties to the venture capital community, the startup community, or both, so that you can develop shortcuts to those insights? Do any of these insights spark thoughts on new innovations that might be undertaken? Is your operation running well enough that you can afford to carve off sufficient time to undertake this work? Pinnell was actually brought on board the 2012 Olympic Organizing Committee before many of his colleagues, so IT had one of the longest lead times, and Pinnell put that crucial time to use. In its early days, he developed a scope, a budget, and a full IT strategy, planting a stake in the ground, so to speak. He also made sure not to drive it in so deeply that he couldn't move it later. Facing four uncertain years, he had to keep it adjustable. To this end, he and his team noted hypotheses and assumptions embedded in the plans. Thus, when the inevitable need for change occurred, agreement with his colleagues could be forged more easily. The new plans could be ratified, and execution could begin as soon as possible. Pennell was deliberate about not seeking perfection in an early IT plan because, as he explained it, quote, "The fixed time horizon drives IT leaders to be satisfied with proceeding after testing plans to 80% confidence. IT leaders have a tendency to want to get to 100%, but one gives up speed in the process," end quote. Perfect is unattainable, so seeking it out is a fool's errand. Whereas developing a practical and implementable plan that the rest of the organization can get behind is a recipe for success. One should think of developing agile plans that can be tested, and as reality suggests that there are certain aspects of the plans are no longer valid, develop a new objective to pursue. This requires constant iteration with one's colleagues outside of IT. Hired ahead of many of his peers, and given how much was at stake once the games began, Pennell had little choice but to adhere to such an approach. The forced choice was a blessing. In most industries, the pace of change is not quite as fast, and the stakes for any single two-week period not as significant as the two crowning weeks of the industry known as the Olympic Games. As a result, in many companies and industries, too often plans are constructed and then not revisited. As a result, they become stale and do not reflect reality. What's worse, they suggest that the CIO is not sufficiently engaging his or her peers and colleagues to identify when change is necessary. Pennell had to continue to modify his plans right up until the final days, and in some cases hours before the moment on July 27th when 204 petals of flame reached the cauldron of the 2012 London Games. For example, on July 22nd, Bradley Wiggins became the first British cyclist to win the Tour de France. Though cycling was to be a focal sport, there would be an increased emphasis and pressure for the media on the initial road cycling events, leading to some operational challenges in technology. It should also be noted that Pennell was not foolish enough to think he could accomplish all of this alone, or even that his team could do so without the aid of partners with deep expertise in many areas that are essential to the Olympics. This meant developing solid processes for vendor segmentation, procurement, and management. It also meant that his team needed to have depth of expertise in project management, vendor management, and change management. To my great pleasure, and probably to yours as well, Pennell's efforts did not go unnoticed. For his trouble, he was named an Officer of the Order of the British Empire, conferred upon him as part of the 2013 New Year honors at Buckingham Palace. This might make more traditional awards bestowed upon CIOs seem a little less impressive, but it also demonstrates how extraordinary a job a CIO can do. Jerry Pennell's accomplishments are at the heart of what this book hopes to facilitate for executives everywhere. Developing IT strategies that anticipate and change in response to disruptions and that translate down to great implementation. This book is also about something more. It's about how IT can become a tremendous force for improving the strategic work of the company as a whole, as well as the company's other divisions, in ways that directly add to the net value of all. Having worked with a great number of leading chief information officers across a wide array of industries and geographies, I'm impressed by how much progress this community's made. The average CIO is shifting from reactive to proactive, from day-to-day operator to forward-looking innovator, from junior member of the C-suite of executives to a rightful peer to the rest of the executive team. As I've written elsewhere, two trends highlight these facts. First, CIOs are increasingly asked to take on responsibilities in addition to their IT duties, such as heading up HR, procurement, supply chain, innovation, shared services organizations, and more. I refer to this trend as the CIO Plus. The other trend is exemplified by Greg Carmichael of Fifth Third Bank, the CIO who goes on to become CEO or COO. Carmichael is the president and COO of Fifth Third Bank. The number one trait of executives who have made this rise is an ability to think about business strategy and business value first, and technology implications second. This is still not the common way of thinking among IT executives, but the community of CIOs is making great progress. Ensuring that IT aligns its activities to value-driven strategic imperatives requires it to have means of formulating, reviewing, and updating strategic plans. As I hope you will find through the examples of many great IT leaders throughout this book, as well as through the methodology described herein, there's a better way to do this, and the rewards for CIO and for the companies that do so are abundant. In the coming chapters, I will introduce a strategic framework that will help the IT leader not only formulate his or her plans, the topic of Chapter 5, but also work with the heads of other divisions of the companies to better formulate theirs. This latter point may seem strange. Shouldn't the division leaders be responsible for their own plans without the need for the IT leader to get involved during the course of their formulation? Chapter 2 provides an overview of why the CIO must get more involved, as both an offensive and defensive measure. Chapter 3 provides an overview of how best to create IT mission statements. Mission statements are not used by all companies, to say nothing of all IT departments, but they help clarify the value that IT proposes to contribute to the company and the customers of the company. Especially in the absence of strong plans from the rest of the organization, an IT mission statement is like a flag planted in the ground for the rest of the organization to see and to comment on if necessary. Chapter 4 provides steps for the CIO to take in order to help the company and its divisions better articulate strategic plans. A variety of CIOs have done this so well that they have taken over the strategic planning process of the entire company. These CIOs lead the IT organizations of companies as diverse as $1 billion Red Robin Gourmet Burgers to $2.5 billion chemicals company Olin Corporation to $6.3 billion Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, better known as A&P, to $45 billion agricultural behemoth CHS Incorporated. In addition, in 2013, the CIO of $15 billion Qantas Airways Limited became the chief strategy officer of the company. Note that none of these are explicitly IT companies the way, say, Google or Intel are, and yet the value derived from having the IT leader responsible for strategy has been profound in each case. Chapter 5 provides an overview of how best for the CIO to sift through the plans of each of the other parts of the organization, determine how best to contribute to each, and then determine what IT-specific plans must be created as a result of that. For example, if there are mobility themes to multiple strategic plans of the company, IT must create its own plan to put together the right people, processes, and technologies to make those opportunities realities. Chapter 6 provides an overview of enterprise architecture, commonly referred to as EA. EA is an important planning process that IT often leads, but that should be made transparent to the rest of the company. The strategic plans across the organization should translate into business architecture, data architecture, application architecture, and systems or IT architecture. The fit of the new into the old should be contemplated. Those things that create redundancy in the architecture should be retired or sunsetted. Most important, the EA must remain up to date, and aligning it with the strategic planning process is the way to ensure that it is. Chapter 7 provides an overview on how best to review, refresh, and communicate plans. It's all well and good to create a strategic plan, but a plan's only as good as the company's ability to execute it. This requires clear and cogent communications that make it real for people at all levels of the company. It should also be disseminated quickly so that the entire division or company receives word nearly at the same time. By the time you reach the conclusion of the book in Chapter 8, you'll have a comprehensive view of strategic planning led by the CIO and IT executive team. Your company may be more or less mature. This book has something for executives no matter the profile. You may read some chapters faster as a result of your division or company doing some of these aspects well already. Others may require lingering over to a greater extent. Either way, I hope you'll find that the path to demonstrably better IT and ultimately company performance lies in the methods I will describe.